Welcome to the Numerologist Podcast, where we bring you a very special guest every single week to help guide you on your spiritual journey, live with abundance, and inspire your soul.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Numerologist Podcast. I'm Rose. I'm the content manager here at numerologist.com. Now, this week's guest is a psychic medium, a term she took years to actually accept about herself. She spent 10 years as a school teacher before she shifted her focus into something she was born to do. Today, she's a certified clinical hypnotherapist, ordained minister, Reiki master teacher, psychic business consultant, spiritual healer, spiritual teacher of the Golden Age movement. She studied under the Oneness University in India, and she is a self-confessed manifesting diva. Whew, that's some list of credentials, isn't it? Through her business, Heaven Sent Healing, she helps people wanting clarity in their lives, those desiring to heal relationships, and those wanting to connect with loved ones in spirit and the spiritual realm. Without further ado, let's meet today's guest, Julie Geigel. Welcome, Julie. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thanks for inviting me here, Rose.
No worries. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Now, a lot of our listeners who follow us on social media will already know your voice from our weekly numerology readings on our social media and on our website. So I'm sure a lot of them will be excited to get to know who you are, really. We are a numerology podcast, we do like to get to know people through their life path numbers. So what is your life path number?
Yes, I was born actually on June 11th. So that makes my life path number a 2. And how you get to your life path number is by adding up all the numbers in your birth date. So I just am so fascinated because not only do all the numbers in my entire birth date add up to 2, but it's that master 11 that's really exciting.
Ah, that's interesting. So the 2 is like, you know, that harmonizer. You're on that personal journey to really connect people, you know, you explore those realms of partnership and cooperation and intimacy and, you know, urging you to unify and be the bridge really between people. So how does that feel? How does that sit with you?
It's a perfect fit because, you know, the 2 really has 2 paths that they can choose between. And as you mentioned, the first path, the initial path that I would say most 2s or that master number 11, most 2s choose is to be more of the peacemaker, to really be nurturing relationships and bringing people together and, you know, just being of service. But as a master number, the other path that the 2 can take is to be a light worker, if you will, be a brighter star and go on a deeper level of service to humanity. And I really feel, I used to be a school teacher and certainly that service work, but I really feel as I've launched, you know, and branched out into my own business, Heaven Sent Healing, that I really am on a mission to assist humanity in awakening, in being a light.
Wow. It's, and you know, it's so interesting to hear that you're a school teacher, because anybody who's been listening to the podcast, the last few episodes, a lot of the people we've been speaking to have been school teachers in, you know, in their lives.
Oh, wow.
Before finding their spiritual path, which is really interesting. So yeah. Let's talk about your website. You know, you have Heaven Sent Healing, which is a website in which you connect with people who are looking to find their light and connect with their angels and those kinds of things. And you've got lots of resources and courses and things like that on there. So how did you start your spiritual journey? Can you walk me through, you know, your path?
Absolutely, absolutely. And before we shift over to that, I just wanted to mention that former President Obama is actually a life path too, as well as Jennifer Aniston. So I just found that fascinating, that energy. They're both very warm, really compassionate people. But yes, yes, yes. So I absolutely thrive on giving and helping people. And so, you know, as a school teacher, I used to teach primarily sixth grade. I just came to a point where I was feeling called to do more, to be more. And I just started exploring. You know, I work with so many people in that space of, I know what I'm doing isn't where I'm meant to be for the rest of my life, but I don't know what the next step is or how to even get there. And so as I look back on my own personal journey, when I was at that place, because I had wanted to be a school teacher since I was in second grade. And so when I got to that space of feeling like there was more, that there was something else, I began to question my own self. Because, you know, it was a lot of work to get to where I was, and then to think that maybe I made a mistake or that I wasn't where I was supposed to be, it brought a lot of self-doubt on me. And so when, I mean, I just prayed a lot. I'm like, come on, come on, God, you're going to need to show me something. So in that space, what I was shown was to explore things that interested me. Let go of career, let go of life path, let go of any of that angst, and just focus on exploring things that interested me. So I signed up for any workshop that I thought I might enjoy. I joined any club. I mean, I just really got out there and did a lot of exploring and a lot of experiencing. And it was one day, an opportunity came to become a certified hypnotherapist. And I was incredibly fascinated with hypnotherapy. And I was told that I had a really good voice to pursue something like that. And so I remember when I got certified, my husband looked at me like, OMG, what the heck are you going to do with that? And I was like, no, this is going to be fun. But yeah, so he was a guinea pig, a test subject for a long time, as well as my children.
Oh, wow. I bet that was interesting.
Oh my gosh. I've got some stories to tell you there. But you know, I just did it for family and friends. And then, over time I started charging, and then it got to the point where I was so busy, I couldn't work two jobs. And that, in that moment, you know, I prayed about it and I was divinely told, you know, it's time to leave teaching and start your own business. And so that's initially where I started as a hypnotherapist, but I got bored quickly and branched off into Reiki master teacher, teaching Reiki classes. And then I moved into spiritual counseling. I did that for a while. And that was high burnout. Then I embraced, I'll never forget, I had a girlfriend that said, why don't you just call it what it is? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, why are you hiding behind spiritual counseling? We all know it's psychic work. And I'm like, yeah, but spiritual counseling, my family accepts that. What would they think if I called myself a psychic? And she laughed and she said, well, maybe someday. And yeah, after a few years as the spiritual counselor, because you know, you're getting different people, I did finally embrace being a psychic medium, which, you know, not all psychics are mediums and not all mediums are psychics. So it really, you know, was a gift that I, you know, have been given and not utilizing fully at that time. So I tell you, Rose, when I stepped into that title, embracing psychic medium, it really, really, again, was another step in changing my life.
That's a really nice story, a nice way you sort of, your friends recognized that, you know, you had this ability maybe before you were willing to accept that. So you mentioned that not all psychics are mediums and not all mediums are psychic. Do you want to just explain that difference?
Yes, absolutely. Mediumship is about connecting in with loved ones who've passed. And psychic work is more about predicting future experiences. Mm-hmm. And so some people specialize in mediumship only, where they only are, you know, communicating with loved ones in spirit, and they are not, they don't have the skills, if you will, to predict the future. So just because you're a medium doesn't mean you're a psychic, that you can, that you're clairvoyant or clairaudient, that you can predict the future. But, and then the reverse is true as well. So there are many psychics that are excellent at making predictions and assisting people in, you know, finding clarity on their path, but they are not able to communicate with loved ones in spirit, nor do they have any desire to. And so for me, my path actually began simultaneously, I would have to say. It wasn't actually until a couple of years ago when I found out that because I'm like a fourth generation, well, actually fifth generation psychic medium. My great, great grandmother was very, very psychic. And it's funny because, I mean, I've had my business for 12 years and I'm like, seriously, Mom? You didn't think that was important to tell me this?
So this wasn't something you grew up with.
And she talked about.
Wow.
No, she's like, well, back in my day, because she grew up in the 40s. Back in my day, we were witches, and you didn't talk about, you know, if you started talking about visions you had, they locked you up, right? And so my journey, I mean, throughout my whole life, I've always been hypersensitive. And I'm an empath, and that's really where it started, with being incredibly sensitive to people around me. And so I was the girl that cried at spilt milk. Mm-hmm. And I was the one that, you know, I just really had a hard time in school and crowds, and because I could pick up on all these people, and I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea that it wasn't me, that it was actually coming from somebody else. I just thought I was, you know, a little bit crazy. But then my father passed, I would say it's been about 20 years now. And when he died, that's when my life did a 180. Because he died of lung cancer, and I thought it was suicide because he died from smoking, and he told his doctor and everybody else that he had stopped smoking when he really hadn't. He was smoking in the back, behind everybody's back, and ended up with pneumonia, and they found cancer and lung cancer and died. And so at the very beginning, when he passed, I was incredibly angry with him. He was a big part of my life, and I was pretty young. I was probably 25 or 26. I had just graduated. Well, it was right before I graduated from college and started my career as a teacher. And I remember just having these conversations, screaming at him, crying at him, how could you do this to me? I hate you. I'm, you know, who's going to fix my car now? And I found the show on TV, John Edwards Crossing Over, and started watching it. And I remember in the beginning, my husband was like, I don't know why you're watching this guy. He's such a load of crap, and you don't really believe that stuff. And then after a while, he was like, hurry, hurry, you're missing it. You're missing it. Like, but we learned so much. And what I learned from that show was that these conversations I was having with my dad, I wasn't making it up in my head. They were real. My dad was actually talking to me. Wow. And I just get choked up thinking about it, but it's really that simple. And when I acknowledged that it was real, again, my whole life changed. I mean, I was never a psychic medium. This just happened, you know. I just embraced that term about 7 years ago.
Wow.
But yeah, it's just been a beautiful, beautiful roller coaster.
Now, you talked just before we came on air about your work with Archangel Metatron. Now, do you do a lot of your psychic mediumship through him, by channeling him, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would have to say it was about 3 years into my work in about 2010 when I started channeling. And Muhammad is the one that came in initially from the Bible. And then after about a year channeling Muhammad, I went to a psychic fair. Well, I was in a psychic fair, a vendor, and the gal next to me, we just got to chatting, and I would go to this retreat and channel Muhammad. And she's like, I want to come. And so we went together, and the night before I was supposed to channel, she was an energy worker and she did some energy work on me. And all of a sudden she burst into tears, and she's like, and she was working on my back, and she's like, oh my gosh, I can see your angels, and Archangel Metatron is here, and he wants you to know that you're going to be channeling him tomorrow night and not to be afraid. And I burst into tears. I'm like, oh my gosh, he came to me the night before and, you know, told me all this stuff. And I just was scared and not sure, because he's a very different energy, very, very strong and powerful. And she's like, run with it. You got this. And then that night I channeled Archangel Metatron, and it was the most amazing experience of my life. And then I did a radio show with a friend. I think we were on air for a couple years. And then I went by myself and channeled him for about a year on YouTube. So I probably did a good solid, well, with Muhammad, 5 years of weekly channeling. But so when Metatron came in is actually when I embraced being a psychic medium. It was like, all right, there's no hiding now.
It gave you the courage and freedom to do it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, he is the guy. He comes in, he opens that portal of communication and assists with the messages, helps me connect with the person's spiritual team. So when I do a reading for a person, I'm tuning into my own spiritual team. Primarily Archangel Metatron, and then I tune in and connect with the other person's spiritual team and their higher self, and then the information just floods in, and I'm clairaudient, which is super cool because I can actually hear, like, if the person were sitting talking to me, like your team was right here right now talking to me, I can hear specific words, specific phrases. And that's how it works with Archangel Metatron. I'm clairaudient, so oftentimes I will specifically hear messages, which is super cool.
Wow. Now, when you do readings for people or work with other people and sort of tap into their spiritual team, like you were just talking about, and their higher self, are the messages sort of helping give a glimpse into the person's future and trying to get them sort of onto their most aligned path? Is that the path you sort of take with your readings?
Absolutely. Because it's just so much more than forecasting or making predictions. It is so much more than that. So I like to think of it as a combination of spiritual counseling, mindset coaching, spiritual healing, and the psychic medium work. And so I essentially help people find clarity. I mean, people typically come to me because they're lost, they're confused, they're not sure what to do next, or they're in a relationship or just ended a relationship, and they're feeling a little off center. So what I've found during my readings is that, you know, that communication with their spiritual team, first of all, to know that they're not here alone, that there's this whole team of spiritual beings. I always tell people your spiritual team is made up of two guardian angels that come in on your first breath and leave on your last. And it also is made up of master teachers. So these guides come in depending on what you're working on. So they don't stay with you through your whole lifetime. They only come in to help you with something, and then they move on. And then there are loved ones in spirit. Not all your loved ones who are in spirit are in your spiritual team, but there's at least one or two. And then there are pets. So people have a very, very strong affinity with their pets. And when they pass, they most definitely move into their spiritual team. And I'll oftentimes see animals around people, which is so fun because they never leave your side. And then in your team as well is a totem animal. So there are power animals, just like there are guides. And then there's totem animals are similar to like your guardian angel. And so we're all assigned a totem animal when we come in, and it stays with us through our lifetime and leaves when we die. But then we have power animals that move in and out again, depending on what we're working on. So we've got this whole team. And when people understand that they're not alone, that they have so much love, so much support from beyond, it just really helps them see through the fog and gain clarity and perspective on what the next best step is.
Wow.
Yeah.
So can you share any stories with us about any, have you got any favorite stories about, you know, a person you might have helped and how their life changed as a result?
Oh, well, there's a few people that stick out in my mind. I offer a spiritual mentorship program, and oftentimes I work with people for 2 or 3 years. And a couple of my favorite clients, one, her name is Jean, and she, I remember when we first started, she was very, very lost and disconnected in her marriage, that it just had lost its spark. And she went from being unfulfilled in an unhappy marriage to leaving the marriage and finding another life partner where she's incredibly excited and feels loved and like she has purpose in her life again. But also the best part is that she's getting ready for retirement. And she is moving into another career that is more purposeful, you know, that's a spiritually based career with her new life partner. So it's incredibly exciting just to watch her growth and to see the different changes that have occurred over the last 2 years. She's a one that always sticks out in my mind, but another gal, her name is Julie. And, you know, when we first started connecting, she was one that was single and just kind of, feeling lonely and in a career that, you know, was good, but just feeling like there was more in life, you know, that she was missing something or that there was more meaning that she could be creating, but had no clue what. And so I love Julie because she's just a sponge. You know, any class I ever have or workshop that I offer, she is the first one to sign up. So she always shows up for herself. And through that commitment in pursuing her passions and her dreams, what has evolved over the last couple of years is a hobby that's quickly becoming a business in painting healing trees for people. And her work is just unbelievable. And she never had any artistic training in her life. It was simply just one day she picked up a pen and started drawing these trees. And then somebody was like, oh my gosh, that's beautiful. Can you draw one for me? And then she realized, you know, she had did some Reiki training with me, realized infusing those trees, people could feel the energy and these trees were healing for people. So I see big things coming for Julie as she really embraces this more spiritually attuned side of herself. It's really amazing. And then the last gal I just wanted to mention quickly, her name is Dorothy, and she is just this bright, shining love bubble. And she started out as a matchmaker and again, single. And after working with Dorothy for a couple years, she found herself. She had come from a place of being sexually abused at a young age and infusing her gift of love and compassion into a career of helping other women who are helping other women recover from sexual abuse. And embracing, when she finally embraced that in her life, it just totally reminded me of my moment of calling myself a psychic medium and, you know, denying or, you know, wanting to sugarcoat or pretend or whatever, hide behind. But when she finally embraced that, all right, I'm going to use this for good and I'm going to help other people. And who better to do that than someone who's experienced what they've experienced? And again, I just get chills up and down when I think of the path and the goodness that Dorothy is going to spread into this world as she truly embraces her gifts and shines. But it's so exciting, Rose, working with people, helping them to uncover the best version of themselves.
Absolutely. It's really lovely to actually hear you talk about your clients. It sounds like their successes are your successes, which is really nice thing to hear. Now, I just want to go back to what you said just before about people having, you know, their spiritual team and the two guardian angels and the totem animals that they have with them their whole life. How would one go about figuring out who they are?
Oh, that's a great question that I get a lot. And again, I just reference how I did it, you know. So what happened in my, as I journeyed through my life, is I started collecting things. And one day I realized I have like 5 Buddhas. And then all of a sudden it hit me, OMG, Buddha is in my team, right? And that's how it happens. So think about the animals, the masters, the guides, the, you know, spiritual figures in history that you are most attracted to. And those are the ones that are in your spiritual team. And so I highly recommend purchasing. Like one time I was working a psychic fair and I was, you know, just walking around to the booths and saying hello to the vendors. And one of the vendors had was selling these little ganache statues. And I had no idea who Ganache was. And he actually is the remover of obstacles. And I had no idea who he was, but that statue interested me. I was fascinated with that. And I must have walked by that booth 3 times. And finally, the vendor said to me, I think you're supposed to take him. Have him. I think he's yours. And I was like, huh? And then, you know, she just explained to me how it works, that, you know, you're drawn, you're called. And I picked him up and, you know, brought him home. And there he sat on my altar. And like I said, this is way before I even got into this work. I was a teacher, right? I'm just, you know, buying things that, or no, I was at a psychic fair, but it was early in my career before I understood the whole spiritual team thing. And so another example is when I was in Brazil. I used to go to Brazil for some healing work, and we were in this shop, and I was with my girlfriend. And all of a sudden, a statue literally jumped off the shelf at me. And I looked up and I said to my girlfriend, oh my goodness, there's Archangel Metatron. And she was like, ah, you've got to get him. And he was a little expensive. And I was, you know, running low on money. And I said, oh, I'll be here next year. I'll just get him then. And she looked at me. She said, oh, no. Oh, no. You are not leaving this country until you buy him. If I have to buy him for you. And I tell you, I really, really appreciate her doing that, because that was my last trip to Brazil. I did buy him. I did buy that statue, and he's in my room, and I treasure him, honestly, like nothing else that I own, because of that moment where I almost didn't make that purchase and I never went back. So when you're drawn to certain things, it is a sign. They're speaking to you. They're trying to get your attention and let you know that this is a master that is working with you. So when you print out, I've got a couple of photos that I've printed out. If you can't find a statue, print out a picture, get an altar set up, get the pictures posted, because that is the way that you honor them. And when you honor your spiritual team, it brings this connection with them closer and it makes it stronger.
We've actually got an article on how to build your own altar. So I'll put that in the show notes for this podcast episode. So anybody out there listening, if you want to build your own altar, you can. I'll link it in the show notes. Now, I just wanted to ask you about something very exciting that is coming up. I'm very jealous you're actually doing this. You're traveling to India soon, aren't you?
Oh my goodness, I am! Oh, can you believe it? I'm going to India.
So it's an Abundance Festival there, isn't it? So can you tell me a bit more about that?
Oh yes, yes. I have had India on my bucket list for at least 5 years. The last time I traveled to Brazil, I ran into some people who have attended India, you know, regularly, and I was just very taken with the whole experience, and I added it to my bucket list. And so when this opportunity was presented to me, I knew I couldn't say no. And it was kind of like buying Archangel Metatron in that store that, you know, you always think, oh, I can do that another time. But honestly, sometimes it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And if you miss it, you know, it's not going to come around again. So yeah, when this opportunity came up, I immediately said yes. So last year, actually around this time, I was introduced to the Golden Age Mission. And it's spearheaded by Sri Amma Bhagavan from India. And it was my master teacher in Arizona who actually shared this information with me, that there's this mission. And they had started offering spiritual development. And after attending this spiritual development program for 8 years, you would become enlightened. And part of the mission is to awaken the planet and to assist other people on this awakening journey. And so last year I went to Washington, D.C. for a 3-day program, and it was amazing. And I host Journey into Happiness events that are every other month here in Wisconsin. And they're hosted in 40 locations across the U.S. And we tune in to India, and they live stream an enlightened monk who works with us throughout the day. And so they had shared with us, there's an opportunity for deeper spiritual studies if you'd like to come to India. And you'll be able to meet Sri Amma Bhagavan in person. And they're going to be invoking a brain surgery for all the participants to assist in rewiring and reprogramming your brain for higher states of consciousness, awakening, and enlightenment. So I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going. So there's this exciting group of about 30 people that are coming together. It's February 19th, and I'm staying an extra week to attend Sri Bhagavan's birthday celebration. He's turning 71. And there's supposed to be extra special infusion of energy and explosive, exciting things happening But so if anybody's interested, you know, there's plenty of room. Come to the Abundance Festival.
They can actually, are you going to be posting on social media about it? Can they follow along with your journey of what's happening?
Oh, yes. That's the best part. So I'm offering my tribe 21 days of spiritual healing. So I've traveled a lot in the past. I've been to London several times and in Brazil, and I always offer spiritual healing for my tribe. So there's a couple options. You can either jump on my email list, and there's a free option to join us. I always take everybody with me. But if you want a deeper, more intense experience, I do offer what I call photo healing. And it's long distance photo healing. So I actually bring your photo with me. And each day for 21 days, I tune in and connect with your energy, clearing out any blocks, infusing you with spiritual healing and divine energy. And I'm also going to be hosting a private Facebook group for those people that are in my photo healing. And I'm going to be posting photos and really sharing deeper kind of my highlights, because during the Abundance Festival, it's a 7-day course. It's at the O&O Academy in India, and it's a very intense 7-day program that really takes us through at a higher level, cleansing out interference and blocks that are preventing you from living your best life. And they really are focusing on, you know, 5 areas of healing. They've got generational inherited pain that we'll be working through. Limiting beliefs of the collective human memory is another day where we'll be doing clearing on that. And then painful patterns formed during childbirth and childhood. And the 4th one is your own personal suffering. And then the final one, the 5th one, is decisions and actions that you've made in your lifetime, which may be creating negative karma. So those are the 5 areas of focus during that intense Abundance Festival. And with the photo healing, everything I receive, you will receive as well. So any clearings, any activations, any upgrades, you will receive as well. So it's really exciting.
It sounds like an amazing opportunity for anybody who can't actually physically get to India.
Right.
I'll put all the details again down in the show notes, so anybody who's interested in that can check you out.
Beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No worries. Now, I just wanted to quickly go back. I've just got one more question for you. Now, you did work for 10 years as a teacher, like we've discussed. So what are your thoughts on lessons on spirituality in schools? Do you think it's something that would be helpful to introduce into a curriculum?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited that you asked me this question, because I did that. So when I was teaching, like I said, I would say the last couple of years, maybe 4 years, when I started on the spiritual journey, I got my master's in education. And for my thesis paper, I wrote it on meditation in the classroom. And it was so exciting, because I did a study. And my study proved that, I had a control group. I had, you know, the other, because I taught all the English and social studies. And so I had, you know, my homeroom class all day long. And a couple extra classes, and then I had another section. So they were my control group. And so my control group, I didn't do anything special with, but my homeroom class, we did meditation and we did yoga. And so I had, you know, the first semester, I didn't do anything with anybody. And then the second semester, I had, you know, the control group and then the focus group. And what I found in that study was that scores, I believe they increased 25% across the board for the kids that had experienced yoga and meditation 3 to 4 times a week compared to the kids that didn't.
That's incredible.
And wasn't it amazing? So I really am a huge fan of meditation in the classroom. And I love how it's becoming more accepted and more practiced. And, you know, a lot of times it's just semantics, you know, what you're calling it. So, you know, calling it quiet time is more comfortable for people than calling it meditation, because for some reason people think meditation is religious. Mm-hmm. Or even people get afraid of spiritual in public school system. So when you go, you know, and I hate to say the word dumb it down, but make it generic. When you remove some of the verbiage and meet people where they're at and simply call it quiet time. All right, everybody, we're going to take a deep breath. We're going to close our eyes and we're just going to focus on our breathing for 5 minutes. Who can argue with that, right?
That's exactly it. And it's funny because I have seen more and more, you know, and it's been reported on the news that, you know, this school is doing meditation or quiet time, as you say. But it's so funny because it's being reported as a news story. Well, in fact, it should be something that, you know, everybody is adopting. And I think the more and more, you know, positive outcomes that can be shown from meditation and that kind of thing, the more mm-hmm. hopefully it will be adopted more widely.
Yes. And like I said, when it comes to public education, meet people where they're at, make it more generic terms, and they're still gaining all of the benefits from it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, Julie, I think we'll leave it there. It's been so nice to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Oh, it's been such a blessing having this connection with you, Rose. Thank you so much.
No worries. And if you want to check out Julie's work, you can in the show notes below. I'll post everything that you need to know. And make sure you sign up to our blog and YouTube channel so you can check out her weekly numerology readings every single week. All right. Thanks again, Julie.
Thank you, Rose. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Numerologist Podcast. If you loved it, make sure you subscribe and don't forget to check the show notes for an extra special free gift.